What's up, freaks? This episode of RHR was brought to you by our good friends down the hall, Unchained. Do you have an old IRA or 401k that isn't keeping up with Bitcoin? Have you seen Bitcoin lately? I find it hard to imagine that it's keeping up. Rolled over into an Unchained Bitcoin IRA and take advantage of Bitcoin's long-term potential while enjoying tax-deferred growth. With Unchained, you hold real Bitcoin and keep control of your keys, reducing counterparty risk through their collaborative custody model while Unchained handles the tax forms. Get started now with no setup fees and no account fee for the first year. Not only is this the only standard Bitcoin IRA where you can control keys, unlike other Bitcoin IRAs, you can take distributions directly in Bitcoin, avoiding exchange fees. Set up a Roth or traditional Bitcoin IRA for no charge today at unchained.com/RHR. That's unchained.com/RHR and experience true ownership of your retirement savings. Do it now, freaks. Unchained's the best Bitcoin financial services team in the world. Unchained.com/RHR. This was also brought to you by our good friends at Stackwork. And guess what? They need you. They've got bounties out there that need to be completed, and you're going to get KYC free sats for completing them. So if you think you have what it takes, if you're a software developer looking to make some Bitcoin, go to community.sphinx.chat/bounties to sign up and get paid. Again, these are KYC free sats. They've paid out multiple Bitcoin via this bounty program already. They want to open it up. They've got a lot more work that needs to be get done. So if you have software development skills and you can get some stuff done on this bounty board, go check it out. Get some KYC free sats, excuse me. And they will be adding more skills soon. So beyond just pure software development, go check it out. community.sphinx.chat/bounties.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
You talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
He's the one who likes all our pretty songs, and he likes to sing along, and he likes to shoot his gun, but he knows now what it means. Hello, everybody.
I wasn't going to interrupt.
I've had that song stuck in my head. In Bloom, originally by Nirvana, covered by Sturgill Simpson. I was on in the car right before I got in here, so it stuck in my head. Are you drinking a Pepsi?
No, I'm drinking a Pep Talk lager.
Pep Talk.
Based in Nashville?
Let's give the freaks a Pep Talk right now. You got a Pep Talk in you?
Brewed in Nashville, Tennessee. Did you see what I named the title?
I have not. Let me see.
The best Bitcoin timeline.
Okay. Do we have a pep talk based off of that title?
Do you like the title? Did I do good?
I do like the title.
Nice.
Here's a pep talk, freaks. We're winning, but don't get complacent. Okay? This is only the beginning. Bitcoin's over 100K. It's not in the title, but we all know it's over 100K. Do not get complacent. The winning is going to continue, but you have to keep working. You have to keep stacking. You have to stay humble. This is only the beginning. We have a lot of work to do. Okay? That's your pep talk for the day. Brought to you by Pep Talk. Brought to you by Pep Talk Brewery. Is Pep Talk going to sponsor the show now? We'll do a Pep Talk a show if they sponsor the show. Oh, it'll be the official.
I like that. We should do this whole bull run. We should do a pep talk every I can reach out to them. They're based in Nashville. I literally just found it. Oh, it's Bearded Iris Brewing. Yeah, it's one of the biggest breweries in town. Freaks, I see Seth in the Ride or Die Noster chat saying Wednesday rip, ? And he zapped us 21,000 sats. Thank you for the zap. Appreciate you, Seth. Yeah, Marty and I have a busy week. I'm traveling tomorrow for work, and Marty's got some family things on Friday, but we never miss a week Rabbit Hole Recap, so we have a special Wednesday session for you.
I've got family things tomorrow and Friday. It's Christmas recital season, freaks. I've got my youngest. He's been practicing. Shepherd, where are you going? To the city. And my oldest, I don't know what he's singing. That's Friday.
In regards to the pep talk, you know, I think Marty nailed it. I mean, it's really important that we're not complacent. But it's also important that I think people realize that we are in the best Bitcoin timeline. Like if you run through the different timelines we could have ran down, starting as little as 2 years ago, but especially if you go back like 5, 6, 8, 10 years, it's pretty hard to imagine us being in a better situation than we are in right now. So appreciate that, but don't get complacent. We got to keep pushing forward. And then two other pieces here. I mean, I think if it's important for you that Bitcoin is used as freedom money, you should simply use it as freedom money. The tools are available to you today. It's as simple as that. Use the thing. My biggest worry is Bitcoin will be massively successful, which is my expectation right now. But the overwhelming majority of people will not be using it as freedom money. I would like peg it at like 5% or less will use it as freedom money. The cool part is anyone can. And hopefully we blow through that number. But I would say our number one focus should be trying to increase that bottom line number, the amount of people using it as freedom money rather than controlled, surveilled money that is still protects you from debasement, but doesn't really protect you from anything else. And how do we do that? We do that with better tools. We do that with better education. I think that should be the main focus for the ride or dies, increasing that bottom line number of people that are using it as freedom money.
And that is what we try to do here week in, week out, is provide you with the education, the knowledge about the tools that is going to help lift up that number of people using Bitcoin as freedom number. Freedom money, excuse me. So if you're getting value out of the show and you think others would get value out of the show, tell them to check us out, rhr.tv/stream for the Zap Stream, tftc.tv, Rabbit Hole Recap in your podcasting apps.
Well, if you go to just rhr.tv, all the links are there. So just show them rhr.tv or open up their podcast app and search Rabbit Hole Recap and just click the subscribe button for them. That'd be awesome too.
It's like how I first started buying Bitcoin. I was a poor college student and my wife was working already and she'd come to Chicago and I'd download Coinbase and smash buy Bitcoin. Sometimes you just got to do it. She's happy. She's happy that I did it back then. And now I think the people that you go smash subscribe to RHR will be very happy in a decade.
They will be satisfied.
Yes. All right.
Before you get to the dashboard, two things. First of all, Ride or Die Freak X Frog zapped us 2,100 sats, and Mav21 zapped us 10,000 sats. Should we read the boost that we didn't read last week? Should we front load the boost from last week?
Let's front load the boost. Let me pull them up here. It's working now.
Because we got a lot of boosts, and I really appreciate the support, freaks, and I'm sorry we didn't read them last week. I felt bad. It hurt me inside.
Top four boost from Rabbit Hole Recap, $100,000 Bitcoin. Rabbit Hole Recap, 334. Scott Offered, 150,000 sats. January's Milwaukee Bitcoin Meetup, Bitcoin Wallet Discussion, located at the Sports Lounge in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Confusing. Milwaukee Bitcoin Meetup in Waukesha, but it's in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Join us.
Waukesha. It's pronounced Waukesha.
Waukesha. I should know that. Thank you, Paul. Join us on Tuesday, January 14th, 2025 at 6 p.m. for the Milwaukee Bitcoin Meetup, where we'll explore the BitKey by Block and the Tangem Wallet, a user-friendly hardware wallet designed for newcomers to Bitcoin. RSVP at www.meetup.com/Milwaukee-Wisconsin-Bitcoin-Meetup/events/30492467. Grab a drink or a bite to eat at the bar and join the enthralling combo. Bayer, 26,420 sats. Been a listener since 2018. OG, RHR freak.
Let's go.
You guys have been fundamental to my Bitcoin journey. I cannot thank you enough for all the great work you've done in the space. To give back, and since a bull market is around the corner, I've made a free/open source guide to help anyone take self-custody of their Bitcoin. Find it at www.wehodlbtc.com. WeHodlBTC.com. I hope it helps. Stay humble and stack sats.
I love that. I wonder if I was the inspiration. My guides are at WeRunBTC.com.
WeHodlBTC. We run BTC.
Let's go. Ride or die free. Great advice. Classic.
21,000 sats. Always a pleasure. Salute emoji. Salute to you, Classic. Thank you for the boost. At 8 Mithrandir, 17,777 sats. As you watch the Bitcoin price moon, enjoy your sats in self-custody. Spare thought for Samurai and TDev. Still awaiting trial. Once the U.S. Gov takes down self-custodial privacy tools, they will come after self-custody in general. Get your donation to P2P Rights Samurai Legal Defense matched by Anon BWES. Navigate to p2prights.org/... there's a link in the boost. It's cut short. But go to p2prights.org and you'll find it. Enter BWES in any field on the form. Allocate 100% to Samurai Wallet Legal Defense.
Awesome. Ape is the ride or die. I hard second his boost.
And I'll third it. All right, let's get to the dashboard. Price of Bitcoin as it stands right now is 103,860 cuck bucks. One cuck buck's going to get you 963 sats. We're at a 2.06 trillion with a T dollar market cap. We are at block height 875,340, which means we've had a difficulty adjustment since our last episode last Friday. And today, that was an upwards adjustment of 4.4%. We are currently 1,620 blocks away from the next difficulty adjustment, which is estimated to be on December 29th, 2024. It's an upwards adjustment of 1.1% being estimated right now. Blocks have been coming in at 10 minutes on average on the dot. There are 103,223 transactions in Clark's mempool. Go over to mempool.space. We'll see that they have 270,654 transactions. Pretty low fees, sixes across the board, high priority, medium priority, low priority. Are asking for 6 sats per V-byte right now. So if you're looking to make a relatively cheap transaction, it's a good time to do it.
I petition to add something new to our dashboard read every week.
Proposal granted. What is the proposal?
Logan, can you go to primal.net/MartyBent? So we added a new feature on Primal. Loading. You see the Zaps tab? Press the Zaps tab. Marty, have you checked this out yet?
I have not. I saw you noting about
it,
though.
We can see all of your Zaps. You just go to someone's profile page, click Zaps. You can see when they last zapped, what they zapped. I think it's a pretty cool feature.
Let's go to primal.net/Odell.
We saw that Marty did send a zap today, a single zap to a million.
32,000
right?
Zaps already. Dang, man.
32,000 zaps I've sent. Scroll.
I saw you big dick me on Million's post.
I zap first.
I just want to note it there.
Not a competition. It's actually a competition. But we're going to add that. That's not on mobile yet. We're going to add that to mobile too. I think, you know, zaps are awesome. Just sending Bitcoin around.
Sending Bitcoin around, using it. Using Bitcoin. Which brings us to our first item on the list this week, which is the Strategic Bitcoin Reserve Executive Order that has been put forth by the Bitcoin Policy Institute. Big wave, a lot of controversy around it. Essentially,
are you going to read the whole thing?
No, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'll give you a synopsis. I did read it before we came on live today, I believe. Very important details. particularly where the Bitcoin will sit. And it's an executive order that the president would order the Treasury to go out and buy $21 billion worth of Bitcoin, and it would sit within the Treasury, which, if you listen to the episode with Matthew Mezentius of TFTC, our quarterly monetary base update that was released this morning, that was one thing he was very adamant about, is that this Bitcoin should live at the Treasury and not the Fed. And so that is a good signal. There's language in here about custody protocols around if the Treasury decided it wanted to sell Bitcoin, what are the processes that would enable them to do that, and a bunch of other things. So
there's specific language in there about, in the beginning, yes, you'll use some custodial partners, regulated custodial partners that are vetted, but to actually build a digital Fort Knox and have the country self-custody Bitcoin and actually have their own custody set up so that they're not relying on trusted third parties, like, it'd be absolutely ridiculous if we had Coinbase or Fidelity or something holding our national reserve. I think that's incredibly important. I want to just highlight that I think how simple it is in terms of a document, right? It's two pages. It's not written in heavy legalese. It's you know, humble, not lawyers like ourselves can decipher it. This is not like a massive, you know, pork belly filled bill that's like 600 pages. So that's important. I think if you do the math on 21 billion, that's about 200,000 Bitcoin at current prices, probably less by the time this thing actually gets signed. There was a lot of controversy around this that I think is mostly contrived and unnecessary and not really productive. People are welcome to have their own opinions. I would just say that the gentlemen at Bitcoin Policy Institute share a lot of our ideals in terms of freedom and self-sovereignty. And, you know, this is, you're kind of just seeing a little piece of what's being worked on behind the scenes. And I would just say to people, you should give them a little breathing room and let's see how this thing plays out. We're about 30 days from when these executive orders will be signed. And there's other things that are being discussed behind the scenes. We can, you know, once all this stuff is actually unfolding, there'll be plenty of room for critique and discussion and feedback and whatnot. But I will at least say personally that I think they're doing really great work behind the scenes. I think this is incredibly good for American Bitcoiners, and companies based in America specifically. I think it obviously has knock-on benefits in terms of purchasing power for all Bitcoin holders. And regardless of how you feel about the American government specifically, this was always going to happen. Like, Bitcoin is designed as a financial system that can be used by people that don't trust each other. So the fact of the matter is, even if you don't trust the U.S. government, which I think is a decent position to hold, I'd probably hold that position myself. Or I definitely hold that position myself. This is to be expected. And I think that this is an amazing development in terms of Bitcoin adoption. I think particularly operating in America as an American citizen, I am very grateful that I was born in this country. I would not relocate my family to any other country. This is the best country to raise my family and to build our businesses. And to see a regulatory move towards pro-Bitcoin is just strictly net-net a positive benefit. If you look at any other path where we'd be sitting today, it was going to be way worse than this. Is it perfect? Is the situation perfect? No, the situation is not perfect. Is there still going to be a lot of fights and a lot of concerns and a lot of issues? Yes, there's going to be plenty. But there's no way that you can look at how everything has unfolded and think that we are in a worse regulatory position than we could be in any other position, literally any other situation. It is the best Bitcoin timeline.
Completely agree. And I think a lot of, there was two main lines of FUD that I saw around this proposal of an executive order by the Bitcoin Policy Institute. The first people really getting caught up on the second sentence of the bill or the order, which states Bitcoin is a decentralized and finite store value asset akin to digital gold with unique attributes that can bolster the resilience of the US dollar and support American economic interest. I think particularly the first part of that sentence, Bitcoin is a decentralized finite store value asset. Many people read that and are assuming that that Bitcoin is going to be designated and recognized only as a finite store of value asset, where I believe, having spoke with the Bitcoin Policy Institute people and understanding how they understand Bitcoin, they're simply recognizing that Bitcoin is certainly a finite decentralized store of value asset. They're not trying to have the government designate it as such. And people were running with that assumption and saying, if it gets designated of this, we won't be able to use it as money. And you're not going to be able to send Bitcoin on chain or via Lightning without burdensome tax and reporting requirements. And again, we shouldn't be complacent. We shouldn't. We should stay vigilant and make sure that that doesn't happen. But I think people took that line and really overblew it. I think it's simply a recognition of and a description of what Bitcoin is. It is a decentralized and finite store value asset. It is also
a
medium
fact.
Of exchange and a unit of account for many people already. And as we showed with the Zaps, people are sending Bitcoin and using it as a medium of exchange, a means of payment, if you will. And then the other one was, I believe Nick Carter went on Bloomberg or something and was saying the government shouldn't do this because everybody will dump treasuries, which is something that there is some... Yeah, there is some merit in the worry. Like if you ape in too hard, I think the strategy around the strategic Bitcoin reserve does have to be very very thoughtful and very deliberate. But I think this executive order is pretty thoughtful, deliberate, and a sort of dipping of the toes. $21 billion in the grand scheme of things of the U.S. government, all the debt they've accrued, all the GDP in the United States is a nice toe dip in a beginning step.
I missed this Nick Carter thing. What did he
look it
said
up, it Logan. Look it up, Logan. It's like, we'll find it. I don't want to
speak it?
For him.
Is it long?
Yeah, we can play it. He's called me an anti-Semite and claimed that I plagiarized him before. Well, so I want to make sure we give it justice by doing the...
I'll critique it then.
Call me an anti-Semite because I called Udi a potential Mossad agent. Apparently, you're not allowed to do that. Here we go.
Is it this clip right here? That
yeah.
Hopefully.
All right, this isn't a clip.
Find the clip, Logan.
What is that? Is this a screenshot?
Just search Bloomberg, Nick. But yeah, I think that's overblown as well. Basically, the premise he lays forth is like they shouldn't do it because everybody's going to dump treasuries, and it's like, well,
if the premise is it shows that we're in a horrible debt situation. Is this the clip or the clip?
Yeah,
it's 3 minutes. Is it
just,
somewhere in
just
here?
Just play it. Zoom right. in at 1.5 speed if you have to.
Hey, Nick, I want to talk a little bit about a strategic Bitcoin reserve. A lot of folks we've been talking to over the last few weeks think it is something that is likely going to happen under the Trump administration. You're not
one of those folks. Who decides that.
Why do you not see one happening?
It depends what we mean by strategic reserve. If we're talking about a stockpile and just holding the Bitcoin the U.S. government has already seized, unclear how much they have right now. They might be selling off some of those coins. I think we can reasonably expect that to happen. Trump's been clear on that front. If we're talking about Cynthia Lummis's bill buying 1 million Bitcoins over 5 years, acquiring more Bitcoins for the U.S. government, or even potentially moving away from the existing dollar system to a Bitcoin-backed system, I don't think that's likely. I don't see support in Congress for that. Congress would have to authorize that. I don't believe that it would be prudent, frankly, for the U.S. government to signal a move away from the dollar system, move to a commodity standard based on Bitcoin. Any other nation state, it makes sense for them to acquire Bitcoin, and they are, Bhutan, El Salvador, that's fine. The U.S. is the issuer of the global reserve currency. We shouldn't do something that would call in into question our own solvency. So even though I am a Bitcoiner, and it would certainly benefit me if the U.S. government started buying Bitcoin, I'm also an American, and I don't think it would benefit anyone if we were to shake confidence in global markets by implying that the dollar is at risk.
Well, as we mentioned, Bitcoin rising to a new record for a second day in a row today, hitting $108,000 per Bitcoin.
I mean, that's major loser energy. I don't understand that.
It's very big loser energy.
I mean, that we're already insolvent. So should we try and solve it? Should we try and try and mitigate that issue? Or should we just pretend it doesn't exist, even though everyone knows it exists and it's becoming more and more obvious? I mean, I would do the latter. Like, we should definitely accumulate hard assets. I think that Bitcoin is ideal in this situation. And I actually, for a Sill Dispatch yesterday, I did the longest CNBC intro I've ever done in Sill Dispatch history. It was 12 minutes of Saylor speaking. And we're not playing that right now. I already did it to the—
Pull it up, Logan.
Sill Dispatch freaks. But towards the end, I mean, some people pulled out like bullish clips there. He was talking about it in a way that it would entrench the US dollar for another century or so instead of Bitcoin being the competitor. And he talked about twofold. He talked about this idea of effectively backing our debt with Bitcoin, which you can understand the conclusion there. Makes sense. Bitcoin increases in purchasing power. Our debt is what, like $35 trillion or something like that now? If you have a hard asset that is relatively backing it, whether or not that's a direct backing or not, that should add some more faith to that debt burden. And then the second piece was, he was like, we should have a like US approved stablecoin to compete with Tether that you would imagine would also be buying treasuries and would take some of that control away from Tether. So, I mean, I would push back on this idea that US politicians think that the Bitcoin is a threat to the dollar in the first place, that accumulating Bitcoin would be an increased threat to the dollar and an increased threat to our ability to raise money via treasuries. And that I think a lot of them will actually be positive towards this. The second piece is, you know, a small portion of this can be done via executive order, it seems. It doesn't even require congressional approval, which is what we saw in the previous comment from David Bailey with that draft.
The stream just died.
Stream completely?
It told me that it just died.
They cut our stream. They're trying to stop the signal.
Susan, we're back, baby.
Susan Wozicki from the grave.
They
don't want us talking about this alpha here.
The last thing I was going to say here is I actually think like Bitcoin probably is a massive threat to the US dollar. And I think Saylor is probably wrong that it'll entrench the dollar for another century. And I don't know if he believes it or not, and if that's just a talking point. But fortunately, most politicians are not listening to Rabbit Hole Recap every week.
Don't speak so fast. There's a few politicians out there that definitely listen to this. I would add, I mean, that's been a big meme this year. Particularly, we had Paul Ryan come out and say it at some conference, and many others pointing to the demand for short-term treasuries that Tether has driven, buying more than many first world nation states now at this point. And like Saylor said, get a US approved stablecoin to drive demand for treasuries as well that way. But there's also like a third option or a second option, which would be to collateralize some of the treasury debt with Bitcoin. And this is an idea that I was talking about with some people over at Bitcoin Mena last week. And the US government, the treasury, has a massive problem on the long end of the yield curve where people are selling it because they don't want to take the risk of investing in the US economy for 10 to 30 years. And so what you could do to bring down yields on the longer end of the curve and to get the curve less wonky than it is now is issue longer duration bonds with a smaller coupon, maybe 1 to 2%, and you take 10% of the cash raised when you issue that debt, you buy Bitcoin, hold it within those bonds, and then you share in the Bitcoin appreciation at the end of the when that bond comes to term, 10 or 30 years. And that's a way to fix the treasury issue, drive demand from buyers that aren't stable coins, and then accumulate Bitcoin slowly but surely over the long term.
There may or may not be multiple executive orders, and that might be one of them.
Yeah. I mean, this is an idea that's been talked about. I talked about this with Andrew Hones in New York a couple of weeks ago as well. But this is something that Preston Pish has been talking about as well. And if you're looking for a way to stabilize the treasury market, to accumulate Bitcoin, and to drive demand from sources that aren't stablecoin providers, like that would be an incredible way to do it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
It just makes sense. And then, by the way, this is not for someone who would just buy Bitcoin. Like, if you can just buy Bitcoin, you should just buy Bitcoin. Specifically, this is for a lot of investors that their mandate dictates that they have to buy these fixed income instruments.
That's really for the banking sector, right? That's the treasuries are their reserve assets, essentially.
But we saw like a similar model kind of play out with El Salvador's Bitcoin bonds, right? Which is if you're comparing against other bonds, they can be a very good deal, but they strictly will underperform Bitcoin just buying Bitcoin.
Yeah. And whether we like the dollar or not, I think the argument can strongly be made that this actually strengthens the dollar, because if you have the ability to pay off the debt that you've accrued, and there is a path to viability to pay off the $37 trillion or a good chunk of it over the next 10 to 30 years, that bodes well for the U.S. economy and by extension the dollar.
I think it's strictly net-net strengthens the dollar. The real question is if it's foregone already, like it'll help compared to the status quo. But I think long term, you know, as a reserve currency, Bitcoin will just outcompete it. Like, why hold dollars when you can hold Bitcoin?
You can't have loser energy. You can't have loser energy, freaks.
This is not, you're calling me a loser energy?
No, I'm opining back to the video we just watched. Like, that's...
Yeah, what the hell is that?
It's very low energy.
It sounds like someone was under-allocated to Bitcoin. Sounds like someone got distracted.
Yes. Speaking of distractions, big one this week, Google, quantum concerns. Chamath Palihapitiya went on All In last week. And said that he had to cancel all of his meetings to understand what was going on with Willow, the Google chip, and the advancements that have been made with the qubits in our strive towards quantum computing. And he said that Bitcoin SHA-256 is going to be borked in 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, I think he said 2 to 4, but yeah, the point stands.
Yeah.
Also sounds like someone is under-allocated to Bitcoin. I think most of this is bullshit.
It is.
And if it's not bullshit, there's a lot more time than people are proclaiming for engagement, frankly. And
we had Matt Corallo join us for the Bitcoin Alpha podcast, the 1031 show that is distributed on this YouTube channel and this podcast, or the TFTC podcast feed. And he dispelled all the FUD. It's complete FUD. And I don't want to ruin his explanation. Look out for that episode dropping on Friday to get...
Ruin it. Give us a synopsis.
Essentially, like the Willow chip, they have made some advancements in qubits, which are some part of the quantum computer that are necessary to get the quantum computing. However, It was an advancement, but like, it's nothing to worry about. Like they can only have the thing up and running for like a microsecond, like not even a second.
Yeah, it's like a bullshit benchmark.
Yeah. And even if they were to get it up and running, keep it stable for a significant amount of time, where you have the qubits running and not crashing, it still can't do computation on top of that. Like they're still at like the base layer of just making sure that everything can connect and communicate with each other. They haven't even added computational processing on top of it, which will take, Matt would argue, quite a long time to get to that. So it can only turn on for like a microsecond of work, even if it could turn on for longer periods. And who knows how long it's going to take for these computers to be able to stay stable for hours, days, weeks, whatever it may be. It can't do computation yet, and nothing we have to worry about. And then, won't spill this alpha, but Matt explained many different ways in which Bitcoin Bitcoin development community can work to make it so users are not vulnerable to a quantum computer threat if it ever arises.
Well, he posted a proposal on using Taproot to do post-quantum stuff.
Yeah.
And look, there'll be plenty of warning if any of this stuff starts to become real in any kind of real way. And a lot of other things will break first. So this is not really a concern for me. I didn't even include it on the list last week, but a bunch of freaks, I guess, were freaking out about it and requested that we discuss it. But yeah, the synopsis is that it's overblown bullshit, and that if it ever becomes not overblown bullshit, we have paths to figure it out. And there's, you know, people have been, Satoshi was even thinking about this, you know, 15 years ago.
Yeah. And it's funny that whenever this quantum scare pops up in the news cycle, Bitcoin's always the first one signaled out. Like if quantum comes, there are systems that are susceptible all over the world that will get attacked in unison, arguably first. And then Bitcoin,
like literally everything.
Yeah, literally everything. And Bitcoin has some of the smartest cryptographers in the world focused on the code base. And a lot of those cryptographers have a lot of Bitcoin and a high incentive to make sure that it isn't trivial for somebody to steal their Bitcoin. And so when it comes to keeping your money in a system that is vulnerable to quantum computing, I'd much rather have it in Bitcoin compared to the incumbent banking system, because we have all the best cryptographers and they have an incentive to protect it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Literally, I have no concern whatsoever.
Yeah.
They're just trying to shake you out of your Bitcoin position.
Don't let them scare you.
Don't sell BlackRock your Bitcoin.
No. Next up on the list, Primal Premium. I already previewed it a little bit, but Million. This is what this is the post that Matt big dicked me on with the or I posted his note. This is the long read. Came out with a blog post explaining why they built Primal Premium.
I feel like you're not appreciating the 1-2 punch. I texted you the post, then you proceeded to zap it, and then I out-zapped you.
Bold strategy.
It's a good 1-2 punch. I like lured you in with the trap, and then I came over the top. But anyway, this post goes into detail of why Primal Premium launched, what it offers. I think everyone should check it out. The Primal team is just absolutely crushing it. And it's starting to really all come together into an incredibly polished interface to the world with a censorship-resistant communication protocol underneath it.
It's a beautiful thing to say. Shout out to Million and the team at Primal. I know you guys have been working hard towards Primal Premium, Primal 2.0. And it is extremely performant. It's a massive upgrade. Just as a user,
I would say to all the freaks out there, if you used Nostr like 2 years ago and you forgot about it, or if you've never used Nostr, just open your app store, your favorite app store, and search Primal and play around with it. You obviously do not need Primal Premium. You can use it for free. Primal Premium is additional value-added services, including a Primal name like primal.net/Odell or Marty Bent. It includes the media management tools, ways to manage your notes and rebroadcast them if you want to. and various other things will be added going forward. This is a question that I hear a lot. It's like, Odell, you know, you're like anti-blue check. Why are you pro-primal premium? And the reasoning is quite simple. First of all, I like the concept of paying for services. The alternative is the corporate surveillance advertisement model. I actually think Elon did great justice to the world in terms of not normalizing this idea of paying for things that otherwise people thought were quote unquote free, even though they weren't free. You're basically just daddle cattle that they were squeezing out. My big issue with the blue check is twofold. First of all, it affects how much engagement you get on the platform. You get boosted more in terms of algorithmic reach. You get more reach if you have a blue check. That is not the case with Primal Premium. The second piece is with Primal Premium, you can pay with Bitcoin. You don't have to provide a phone number and you don't have to provide credit card information, which is my belief is the real reason that the blue check exists, which is to identify everyone on the platform and connect them to real world identities. And this is not speculation. Elon literally sent out a tweet upon acquisition saying, authenticate all real humans. So I'm just taking him at his word that this is the path he wants to go down. If he wants to prove me wrong and accept Bitcoin, not require a phone number, not require credit card information, I would love to see that. That would be great for the world.
It would be. Maybe he should implement Nostr on the back end. Open it up. Just become an interface, a client.
And I want a pet unicorn.
Hey, who knows? Who knows? Maybe
I would love to see it. That would be great. I challenge him to do that.
You heard it here first. Get it to Elon. Matt Odell has challenged him to make Twitter a Nostr client. Would be a very good one. Would be a very good one. It was mentioned by Myth Randir in the boost, but we have it on the list as well. The Samurai Wallet pre-trial hearing has been moved to March 12th. The trial is set for November 3rd, 2025. And this was after the Department of Justice, I believe, or the NYDFS, sent more discovery information to the Samurai defense team. To date, they've sent 17 terabytes of discovery. Over half the total has been shared with additional data forthcoming before trial. And to put this in context, that is a lot of data. And it's almost like a DDoS on the ability for the defense team to sift through and try to put together a potential defense.
Yeah, I know. It just feels incredibly predatory no matter how you cut it. But it's important that we keep track of this case. And as Marty said earlier, p2prights.org to donate. That's run by the BPI guys, by the way. On the primal stuff, I just see Ride or Die Freak, Weirdo Robot, asking, is 1031 invested in Primal or did Primal receive OpenSats funds? 1031 is invested in Primal. I thought I've disclosed that like a million times, so I wasn't trying to pull a fast one on you. They have not received OpenSats funds. OpenSats has funded, you know, like 40 different Nostr clients with no strings attached grants. Primal is the only Nostr project that is being funded by 1031 right now. I'm also actively involved on like a day-to-day basis with Million in terms of building out Primal. And quite frankly, like why is that the case? That's the case because I'm not the type of person that's going to sit on X and complain about things that I want Elon to fix. I want to be a part of the solution that's building out better tools, better options. And hopefully that will be a challenging forcing function for the incumbents in the space, whether that's Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, Telegram, or X, to actually improve their offering to users and provide users better tools and services that are more ethical and more freedom oriented. And I just think that's a way more productive way to live than to complain and beg someone to change something. And so that's the path we're on right now. And I think I'm going to prove all the haters wrong. I think we're going to make it happen. I'm pretty excited about it.
Put simply, be the change you want to see in the world, freaks. Be the change. Become there a primal legend. Become a primal legend. Join us.
And then there was another question about Primal. Primal has an integrated wallet, which makes it really easy to onboard to Bitcoin for the first time if you've never used it. That's powered by Strike. So it does have some KYC elements built in. If you're on Android, you can use an external wallet using Nostr Wallet Connect. The Apple App Store does not allow an external wallet on iOS. That's the Apple walled garden world that we live in. And by default, Nostr uses the open standard that is LNURL and Lightning addresses. So you can always receive Zaps, which I think is frankly the more important part, by putting in any Lightning address provider you want. So that wallet is completely optional, although it does make the experience much better. And we've seen many users enjoy that functionality.
Yes. Check it out. It's going to onboard a lot of Bitcoiners, freaks.
Paul Saladino,
he got on with a strong endorsement of Nostr this week.
Yeah, Bitcoin bootstraps Nostr, and then Nostr bootstraps Bitcoin is the thesis I think we're watching play out.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got Saladino, and we got Fran Finney. Fran Finney came out with running Nostr, first Nostr post to all the freaks who know her late husband, Hal Finney, Bitcoin user number two, and his running Bitcoin tweet that lives in infamy. Her first Nostr note was running Nostr, which I thought was awesome.
Poetic. Beautiful to see. Next up on the list, speaking of Nostr, OpenSats has issued its ninth wave of Nostr grants to five projects: Algo Relay, Pokey, Nostr Safebox, Persian Nips, and Lumi Lumi.
Yeah, we all laughed when we read Persian Nips. Marty channeled our inner child inside. Nips, by the way, stands for Nostr Improvement Proposals. Not nipples, but it's still funny. I'll just highlight two of them. Algo Relay is from Ride or Die Freak UTXO, and it provides a very customizable algorithmic relay option for users. A lot of focus in Nostr has been people having choice on the client side about how they view stuff. But ultimately, the relays are the servers that operate everything, right? And so you can also have different things. You can have smart relays, basically, that run different things. I think it's important just to highlight here that on TikTok, the CCP chooses your algorithm. On Instagram and Facebook, Zuck chooses your algorithm. On Nostr, you choose your algorithm. You can choose no algorithm. You can create your own algorithm. Other people can choose that algorithm. You have complete choice on how you view the content, how you want to, and you can use any app to do it, which is really, really powerful. And I think is a complete paradigm shift. But anyway, back to the OpenSat stuff. Pokey is the other one I'll highlight. Pokey runs locally on an Android phone and provides mesh capabilities, so you can use Nostr in mesh environments without traditional internet access, which I think is really cool and quite powerful. And then just to finish out the OpenSats shill, OpenSats is a 501c3 charity. I am one of the co-founders along with Ben Price. We're 100% pass-through. We take no funds from donations. And it's towards the end of the year. You might be thinking about making some donations to get tax deductions. Consider doing that with OpenSats. If Nostr is not your cup of tea, consider it being your cup of tea, but you don't have to donate to Nostr projects. We have a general fund that is overwhelmingly Bitcoin projects. There's a sum of like tangential projects like Tor that are supported there, and like WireGuard, but mostly Bitcoin projects. And then there's a Nostr fund that goes to Nostr projects. So you can choose which way you want to go. And you can donate with Bitcoin or you can donate with dollars. If you donate with dollars, we will automatically convert that to Bitcoin. And actually, OpenSats is another case of being the change I wanted to see in the world. Because I know, freaks, I know most times you try and donate to a charity, they take your email, they add you to a million email lists, they sell your email out to a million different people. We don't do that shit. We just don't do that. We don't take a cut of donations. There is a better path. There is a better way. You can even donate completely anonymously with Bitcoin, and we have no information on you, but then you can't get a tax receipt.
Be aware. Be the change you want to see in the world. We had a short list today. We're not done the show, though. There was some breaking news right before we hopped on air. Jerome Powell, chairman of the Federal Reserve, had his FOMC press conference and announced that the Fed has cut rates again by another 25 bips, with the federal funds rate target now being 4.5%. The federal funds rate, for those who are unaware, is the rate at which banks exchange money with each other overnight, or lend money to each other. Excuse me. Logan, pull up the 10-year yield. This is what people should be paying attention to. If the Fed is lowering rates, one would expect historically, the way this has worked is the longer dated bonds, typically their yield typically falls when the Fed is cutting rates. And since Jerome Powell and company began cutting rates in September of this year, the Treasury market has not been playing ball. And so as you can see, at 1400 East Coast, 2 p.m. when the announcement was made, the 10-year yield screamed up about 9 bips, almost 10 bips, which is a pretty big move in Treasury market. So they're continuing to cut rates, and the Treasury market is not reacting in the way that the Fed would expect. So it's very interesting.
It means investors are losing confidence. This is something we've talked about at length on this show. That even if they want to cut rates, they're losing control of the environment. And I would just say Mandible's and then Bitcoin Standard.
Yeah, losing control of inflation. That is the big thing. The inflation print was hot last month. The Fed is cutting rates, which assumes that there will be more easy money in the system, which one would assume would lead to more inflation. So the Treasury market is saying, we don't believe you've controlled inflation, and the yields are going higher because Treasury buyers are going to want a higher yield if inflation is going up.
Just for like practical terms, like if real inflation is 10% and the US government's offering you 4.5% to lend them money for 10 years, you are losing a shit ton of money by doing that trade. So you wouldn't do that. And that's kind of what we're seeing play out.
Yeah. Inflation, during the episode with Matthew Mazinkus, he pulled up a chart comparing monetary base growth, S&P 500 performance, real estate prices, real wage growth, and one other metric, and then put the CPI on the chart as well. And it is truly criminal how the government, the Bureau of Labor Statistics particularly, is marketing inflation or reporting inflation. It is actually marketing propaganda. They are woefully, woefully, woefully underreporting inflation, and they have been for 5 decades. There's a tweet floating around. If you go to my profile, you can see it. It's actually astonishing when he pulls up the CPI. It's the last line he pulls up, and it's like hugging the x-axis compared to all the other assets that have gone up 30 to 80 times.
Yeah, and people aren't blind. We feel it. We see it. We're not idiots. Fortunately, you can buy Bitcoin to protect yourself. You can hold it in secure self-custody, learn how to use it with best practices, get familiar with it, get comfortable with it. It's a life raft if you use it.
Yeah. Average Gary is asking in the Zap.stream live chat.
I wanted to link it to us, Gary.
I've seen it. Can we talk about BlackRock's video that has a disclaimer?
Is it in Spanish?
It's not in Spanish, I don't think. Maybe they have one in Spanish.
Someone linked it to me in Noster in Spanish. I think it was AI switched to Spanish. I was like, I don't speak good enough Spanish to watch this.
No hablas? Well, anyway, there's some hoopla because there is a disclaimer in the video, they're describing that there will only ever be 21 million Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a finite asset, and have a disclaimer. There is no guarantee that Bitcoin's 21 million supply cap will not be changed.
Yeah. Don't overthink that. That's just, you know, bureaucratic
legal speak. Legal stuff.
You know, they got to, like, before they can release anything, it like goes through like a team of a bunch of people that should not have jobs telling them what they can and cannot say.
Yeah.
There's first of all, Bitcoin is incredibly hard to change by default. That's a feature, not a bug. The shitcoiners would have you believe that that's a bug and that we need to move fast to break things. But the core value prop of Bitcoin is that it's the only thing that we have that's operating live in production in the digital world that is extremely hard to change by default. And that's the key value prop, because it's the value prop that underlines everything else. And then the second piece, out of all things that can be changed and may be changed, not a single Bitcoin stakeholder has a benefit in inflating the supply and debasing their Bitcoin. Literally, no one would go for it. Even if you have 10 million sats, you know, you have 1 million sats, you're one of the smallest holders in the world. You don't want to get debased. Not a single person.
Even BlackRock.
Yeah, BlackRock has a lot of Bitcoin.
Well, BlackRock's customers have a lot of Bitcoin.
And BlackRock probably does too.
And Coinbase is custodying it on behalf of BlackRock's customers.
Yeah. Even Coinbase doesn't want to inflate the supply. They might want to change other things and they're not going to be able to, but they don't want to inflate the supply.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people reading things and running. That's definitely error on the side of caution, legal talk.
Yeah, don't overthink it.
No.
That's just drama for drama's sake.
Same with the Bitcoin Strategic Reserve. Bitcoin is
everything, digital. Man. It feels like there's more drama than usual for a bull market. Usually everyone's happy. Usually we go at each other during bears.
It's tempered excitement because there's people entering the market that were not here in previous cycles, and it scares people. Bumping elbows with the enemy in many people's minds.
I think
Bitcoin is money for enemies, so you should have expected this.
That's the whole value prop. Like, you don't have to agree or trust anyone else that's using the system, which is magnificent. I think what's happening is influencers on X did not stack hard enough, and the prices, Bitcoin's running away from them. And at the same time, the biggest influences in the world right now in the Bitcoin landscape are Saylor, Fink, the PayPal mafia, Trump. And they're becoming more irrelevant and they're lashing out with drama and they're angsty. And it might not even be intentional. They're just subconsciously lashing out.
We got more breaking news. J-Pal commenting directly on Bitcoin. Logan, pull it up.
Exactly. Like, who cares what Dan Held says?
What did Dan Held
say? Did you link it?
Oh, wrong. I put it in.
No, I don't know. I'm just using it as an example. Like, most people listening probably don't even know who he is at this point.
Most people don't know who you are.
It's valid.
Well, people listening to this, not... people not
assets that have been buoyant. Do you see any value or benefit in the U.S. government building a reserve of Bitcoin?
We're not allowed to own Bitcoin. The Federal Reserve Act says what we can own, and we're not looking for a law change. That's the kind of thing for Congress to consider, but we are not looking for a law change at the Fed.
That's actually bullish. And would actually confirm Matthew Mazinkus's position, which is it should not be in the Fed, should be in the Treasury. Maybe Jay Powell's like, yeah, we don't want it. If the Treasury wants to do it, go do it. I like that.
Interesting times we live in. Did he say he also wasn't allowed to own it personally? Is that what he said or no?
No, I don't think he said that. We know he has Bitcoin. You know Jay Powell knows what's going on behind the scenes. He's not an idiot. He's got to have a fat stack. You can see the writing on the wall. See how stressed he is? because he has to pretend like he doesn't own Bitcoin. He knows he's got a fat stack. He's got to put on this face.
I do like how, Narwhal Tacos makes a good point. He said we're not allowed, like the Fed is, they always pretend that they're independent. You know, and that's also kind of, he said the quiet part out loud, that they're not allowed to. Like if the Fed's independent, then who tells them to do that?
It's a very good pickup.
They can't do that. I mean, obviously the Fed's not independent, so it's an arm of the federal government.
Yeah. Oh, what else? What else happened this week? Logan, what happened this week?
What about your homeland being invaded by drones? Do you have a new opinion on that?
Psyop.
Did you listen to the recent Rogan?
I saw a clip from it.
He had like a UAE specialist, UAE.
UAP.
When did we start calling them UAPs?
I don't know. It happened in like the last 2 years. I miss UFOs. Right? Yeah.
That, I feel like that's a psyop, calling them UAPs. We should be calling them UFOs. It's always been the case that we've called them UFOs. It rings true to me. They think it's aliens. I listened to it. The guy he had on was like one of the guys that was like the ex-fighter pilot. What, you know, the video that got released of the whatever, it was like 5 years ago, the 6 years ago.
A Tic Tac one.
What? Like it looked like a Tic Tac? Like the candy?
It looked like a Tic Tac.
Like he was one of the pilots. And now he's like a UFO specialist. He runs one of the biggest UFO charities. And like if you listen to that with no other context, aliens are real. Like that was the episode.
Project Bluebeam. Not falling for it.
Okay, well, if that's the case, then you know Joe Rogan's part of the psyop.
Yeah. I did see my favorite video, or not my favorite video, it was actually pretty stunning.
He's mainstream media now, so. Someone in the live chat was like, if that's a real question and you really want an answer, Dan Held was the old version of Dennis Porter. Nailed it.
Yeah, this is what I think about. People are falling for the drone story out of Jersey. It's already dead. Like, nobody's talking about it anymore.
And Rogan literally just talking about it. What am I looking at?
The drones are bringing messages down to people. They're bringing messages to people.
I don't know. Let's see.
It's crazy. The aliens. The aliens are trolling
message.
To the podcast freaks that are listening via audio, it's a... Someone flew their own drone and passed a message down to themselves that said, "You're gay." and the title of the tweet was the aliens are sending us messages. This is something we've talked about in the past, which is we very much live in a post-truth world. Like no one can believe anything they see with their eyes anymore. I think I've specifically said if aliens did invade, like they would literally need to be in your front yard. You would have to see them in person. I mean, at that point, you're completely screwed. Let's be honest. Like, it's way late at that point. But to actually believe it, like, they would need to literally be, like, walking in your front door. And you still might question it.
You just pour water on them. We've learned this from Signs and War of the Worlds. That's all you have to do. It's easy.
Always go for the...
Swing. Pour water on them and swing.
I would definitely shoot them first before I did the water trick. But the water trick would be number two. So you got to try the water trick.
You got to do that. They don't, the alien, we've learned this from Hollywood. The aliens don't like water. It kills them.
They hate water. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is pretty crazy. And also, I mean, to top it all off, it's pretty crazy that none of these posts are signed and hashed. And you can't even verify that they haven't been changed. Let alone if they were changed if they were fake to begin with.
Yeah.
And Nostr fixes that. I know I'm a broken record.
We've got a Zerg rush.
Joe Rogan thinks it's aliens. Putting that out there.
We've got a Zerg rush candidate in the Zap.stream live chat in 35 minutes.
A what?
What do you call it? Zerg rush? A raid? A raid?
A raid.
A raid. Help our Icelandic freaks out there.
35 minutes? A what do we have to talk about for 35 minutes? Anyway, you can go to zap.stream, and there's going to be an Icelandic podcast streaming there. And it's important to realize that Iceland has a population of like 300,000 people. So it's percentage-wise, we probably have the most the most podcasters of any region using ZapStream in Iceland.
Yeah. Boomer Marty. Yeah. I used to play StarCraft, whatever.
Oh, is that the Zerg?
Yeah, the Zerg Rush. Recorded a podcast with the gentleman from War Mode yesterday, Will Cole.
Who's that?
Joined me. They're funny podcast, conspiracy podcast, but I, Billy McCusker, one of the co-hosts, from the same area I am. We have some mutual connections. We've met within the last year and talked Bitcoin. And we did, it was me, Will Cole, and Billy and Andrew, his co-hosts. And we just basically did like a Bitcoin 101 episode walking through how it works, why it's important.
Oh, that's awesome.
And disclosing any FUD. And I just wanted to bring it up because it did remind me that we are so immersed in the space. We are in a bubble, and so many people out there have no idea how Bitcoin works, what it is. I mean, these guys had a pretty good idea, but I mean, through the conversation, Will and I were asking like, how do you think everybody else views this? And it's funny because like Billy was a trash man. Billy or Andrew was a painter, so very humble blue collar guys that have come into a lot of success with their podcast over the last 4 years. They had a really interesting perspective, and nobody understands what money is and why Bitcoin as a better money, as a freedom money, is important and why they should care about it. So just be thoughtful when talking to people who aren't as immersed in this as we are. Being me, Matt, and all you freaks out there.
Did you, you said there's a conspiracy podcast. Did you ask them about if they're aliens?
Yeah, they're on my side. PSYOP.
In terms of how early we are, I looked up the stats. So one of the cool things about Bitcoin is that we don't know how many users there are, right? There's no, you're just making guesses. You're making estimates. And like Saylor, even a few years ago, he always liked to say the 100 million Bitcoiner number, which to me seems way, 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 way high. But even if it's 100 million Bitcoiners, in the scheme of things, are we at 9 billion people in the world yet? We're like at 8.5 billion people in the world. 100 million is a drop in the bucket. But if you look at actual on-chain stats, right? So if you don't actually, let's talk about Bitcoiners that actually own Bitcoin and they don't own IOUs. There's only 4.5 million addresses that have more than 10 million sats. So if you want to talk about people that are self-custodying and that they have more than $10,000 worth of Bitcoin, the top number, the tip-top number...
In one address, like how many...
Wait, no. But this is the key. The tip-top number is 4.5 million. It's actually much less than that because most people use multiple addresses, right? But if we said every single person that had more than $10,000 in self-custody Bitcoin only used one address, that would be 4.5 million people. If people use more than one address, which they do, it'd be significantly less. If you do that, if you move up to a whole Bitcoin, so people that are self-custody and have more than $100,000 in the system, that's only 1 million addresses. Top number is 1 million people that hold more than $100,000 in the Bitcoin system right now. Tiny, 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 incredibly fucking early. I don't think people really appreciate that magnitude. It's easy to fall victim to this idea that it's way, way more mainstream because we're in this bubble. We're in this microcosm of people that are intimately focused on it. But there's not many of us. We are the few. We're the early ones.
I ran the numbers while you were talking. For 10 million sats, if it's 4.5 million people and we're being overly presumptive, assuming it's one wallet per person, there's 4.5 million people, which Matt explained is very highly unlikely to be the case. But if we're running with that assumption and being generous, that's 0.05% of the global population.
Mic drop.
Yeah. 0.05%.
You don't own enough Bitcoin.
Yeah. And if for one Bitcoin, 1 million people divide that by four, so that's like what, 0.018% have more than one Bitcoin.
Can we,
so yeah, the top at the, in the top decile, the top 0.1%.
Really puts it all in perspective.
Yeah.
Can we talk about what did you keep? I like tried to look into Project Bluebeam. Is Project Bluebeam just this idea that there will be a PSYOP based on aliens?
Yeah.
Yeah. And do people just like name it themselves? Like, was there actually any documents that came out that were like government documents calling your Project Bluebeam? Or do people just like create these terms? It's a good name.
I think it was officially a CIA project, if I'm not mistaken.
Did you go down the hole of like the deep underground? They have a word for it too. Dumbs. D-U-M-B-S.
No. It's, deep underground military bases?
I think that's what it is, yeah.
I mean, I've heard, yeah. I mean, I've never fallen down the rabbit hole. I mean, I've heard of these things.
It's just fascinating that people just coalesce on the terms, right? Like the terms aren't top down. Like they just come up, like Bluebeam, I think they just came up with the term. And then now everyone just says Bluebeam, like it's like an actual project.
No, I think I'm pretty certain. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty certain it's like on the level of Operation Paperclip and Mockingbird.
Anyway, I think the thing is probably not aliens. That just seems unlikely to me.
Let's put ourselves in human shoes. Like, what if we discovered another planet? And we were going like, how would you approach that?
I would sit over their house and make annoying noises when they tried to sleep every night. No, I mean,
right?
If humans did, we'd probably just nuke the fucking planet and just go to war with them immediately.
You think we're that type of species?
Yes.
That type of being?
Yes, I think we would do the first strike. But anyway, I don't think they're aliens. They're probably not aliens. I do think it is probably most likely some kind of PSYOP. I actually think the more likely PSYOP would be a thesis that I've had for a while, which is that this is the golden age of independent sovereign drone ownership. And it could be used as a way to restrict the ability for users. Like, we're already kind of seeing it happen.
Funny you mention that.
If you buy like a new drone, they like lock you out of, like they lock the computer out. They like cut the system so you can't fly in certain areas. And it's pretty amazing that you can like go to Costco, pay like $500 and just fly this thing anywhere you want. You can like hover around people's houses and shit. So this would be a good, easy way of scaring people into compliance measures.
It's funny you mention that because I believe at the end of next week, the FAA has some drone legislation that is up for, that's the word I'm looking for, reapproval. And the timing of this is very interesting considering that. This is what the no agenda guys are. That's Adam's theory. So that's just fearmonger around drones. It'll come out that it was just a bunch of individuals doing it and you can't cause this scare anymore, so we need to highly regulate drones.
Blame it on hobbyists, but it was actually just like run by the federal government for the most part. I think maybe like, some up there.
Like how many people just like looked up at the sky for the first time or seeing like planes flying into Newark and mistaking them for drones? Like
there are definitely many cases of people just filming planes. And then last but not least, there is definitely a small portion that's like, it could be, you know, like the Russians or the Chinese or something. And we're just so inept at this point that we just aren't able to take control over it. And that's why the government's quiet about it.
I mean, we had the Chinese weather balloons a couple of years ago.
Yeah. How ridiculous was that? It was just like floating over the, like they couldn't deal with it. They're just, just floating over the airspace.
Yeah. Once I was skeptical. I hopped out on the PSYOP last Friday. I was like, I'm out. I'm out in the drone PSYOP. And then I saw one of the housewives of New York post a video explaining that she had talked to somebody in the Pentagon.
Yeah, Bethany Frankel.
There's a dirty bomb, and that's what the drones are looking for. I was like, all right, I'm out. They had the housewives telling us that there's a dirty bomb. It's fake.
And like also, like I actually think she probably believes it.
But oh, like, yeah.
If you actually believe it, don't go on TikTok and tell people that you leave New York. You know, don't like go outside on your porch. Like, how idiotic do you have to be in that situation? You use your and imagine if she actually did have a friend who told her that, then she just immediately goes on TikTok. You're never gonna get told anything ever again. Like, it's just not gonna happen. I don't know. A bunch of different aspects there are just retarded. But it's a crazy world we live in. No, did you see Trump kind of went along with it too?
Shoot him down.
No, Trump said he's not going to go to his New Jersey golf course because of everything that's going on.
Well, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He has had two attempts on his life in the last 6 months. So,
I mean, they asked him specifically if he had an intelligence briefing about it, and he said, I'm not willing to comment on it at this time.
Oh, God.
Which, he likes commenting on things. So he didn't want to comment on it. It's interesting.
It's been so choreographed, the whole UAP, UFO thing, but they've been calling it UAPs for like 2 years. You've had congressional hearings, and there's been a lot of talk about this particular post-election, like things are going to be revealed, and now like there's drones in the air. I don't know. It just seems too perfect for me.
I mean, I agree with this freak 1984 and Zapstream. Like, this UFO stuff is boring as fuck, but I don't have anything better to do. And that's kind of where I'm at. Do you have anything else to talk about? It just seems
This is why Bitcoin's great. Once you get into Bitcoin, you don't have to worry about any of this stuff. They're going to try and distract you.
Yeah,
UAPs, dirty bombs.
It's all distraction.
BlackRock putting legal disclaimers in a Bitcoin explanation video. Don't let it distract you. Enjoy time with family. It's the Christmas season, after all.
Yeah, Christmas is the best.
It is.
It's a great holiday. Next week, Marty, Thursday is the 26th. When are we gonna do RHR?
Do you want to do it Thursday or Friday?
Should we do Friday?
We can do Friday. Should be able to do Friday.
Friday the 27th, right?
Yeah. No, I bought all of that remote recording. I was too jealous of your setup, your remote setup, so I bought all of your equipment, and I will have that ready to go.
I mean, I sent you links.
Yeah, yeah. The links were helpful. They helped me find the products to buy them immediately.
We care about you, freaks. We know the quality is not always up to snuff. But we do actually try. It's a very frustrating thing to constantly battle against, you know, sound and video and live internet, live streams and stuff. And then life, you know, but the most important thing is we do make it week in, week out. Most shows would take off for Christmas. Most shows would take off for Thanksgiving. Most shows are closed more than traditional financial markets, but not Rabbit Hole Recap, because we care about you, freaks.
We care. We'll be back next week. Enjoy your Christmas. Enjoy your families. Enjoy this dump. Sats are on sale right now.
Merry Christmas. Stay humble, stack sats.
Peace and love.